Have you heard rumors, stories, or perhaps have been offered a chance to buy a competitor who's leaving a business or a market for whatever reason, their business or book of business, and you've heard wild fairy tales of how guys use this to catapult to the next level with ease and literally overnight? Or maybe it's in your mind that's exactly what it sounds like to acquire someone's business. Sounds like a fairy tale, perfect overnight success, but you're not sure how you would even find people who would sell their business to you, how much you would pay, or if it even be worth it. Or maybe you're just now saying to yourself, oh snap, that could be my golden ticket to growth and making money, but gosh, where do I even start? Okay, in this episode, I'm gonna be breaking down how to find folks willing to sell their business to you, what you should pay for the business, and how to get the best deal possible, and even if you should be considering this option, or if you need to go get some more clients before doing this. Welcome to the How to Buy a Business episode. Welcome to the Motivated Lawn Care Show, the podcast designed to help you grow your lawn and landscape business far beyond the six-figure mark so you can stop living paycheck to paycheck and start building the life and business of your dreams sooner and easier than you ever thought possible. I'm your host, Caleb Nguyen. I personally scaled my business from two clients just 4 or 5 years ago to close to $300,000 this past year. I've also had the opportunity to help a handful of guys just like you grow their business as well, which has been super cool to see, and I'm tracking down the seven-figure mark in 2024. So if you're trying to grow and make money and you're not sure if getting a loaded up book of business is right for you or even possible for you, this episode should give you a step-by-step playbook on how to find these sellers, how much to pay, and how to negotiate like nobody's business, and if their business is even worth your time. Because let's be honest here, most of the time it's not, okay? And if you want to hear about the business that I just acquired and hear why it was the dumbest thing that I could have ever done, how I make mistakes too, and why I didn't do things right and what I will do going forward and how you can avoid getting screwed in your next big move, listen until the end when I talk about that. So let's jump right into it. I've got a total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 steps on how to go from you have no idea what you're doing to being able to acquire a business and using that as an opportunity to catapult your business to the next level and your, you know, your personal income as well. So step one, to acquire or to not acquire, okay? So you just, I'll be honest with you, you probably just want to find out, hey, how do I find these suckers and how do I swoop in and get a great deal? But let's talk about whether or not this is even something you should give a shot in the first place, right? First, let's go general. Why would you or why would you not buy up another business? Reasons to do it, okay? Overnight, kind of guaranteed grow. Seems pretty easy to do versus having to go market and close all those new clients. Avoid having to learn how to market and sell your business well, which I'm not going to lie is pretty freaking hard. Okay. And it just sounds sexy, bro. I'm acquiring businesses, bro. That sounds pretty sexy. I'm not going to lie. Okay. Reasons not to do it. Unless they are written multi-year contracts, it isn't really guaranteed growth. Okay. You have no idea if they ran a good business or spoiled their clients. You don't know. So you might step into a business where everybody wants you to clean up the two clippings on their whatever and all this stuff. And it's just like terrible clients, right? You don't know yet. It could handicap you as you don't have to learn how to actually build a business. You're just taking somebody else's years and years and years of success and making it your own. And you're just chilling. Okay. Now, those are kind of some reasons to do it or not to do it in general. Let's talk about your situation. In what situation would you do it? In what situation would you not do it? Or would it make sense to or not make sense to? Okay. Reasons to do it. You got lots of cash. You need a write-off. I'm not going to lie. If it's the end of the year and I can snag a business for the next season and I don't need any new trucks. I don't need any of this new stuff. But I need to spend some money on something that's going to make me more money next year. And I have plenty of money for myself and I want to push off the tax bill. It could be an option, okay? It'll help you plan your season better, especially if you do it at the right time of season. Acquiring a business in the spring is kind of dumb. If you acquire it, you know, a couple months before whatever season you're picking up, maybe you're, you know, starting in the winter season for snow, or you're starting for the spring season, whatever it is, a couple months in advance gives you plenty of time. When I say a couple months, I mean like pretty much a full season in advance, right? Maybe you guys just started snow season and you are already negotiating for spring season, already talking to clients about spring season. Perfect. Gives you a lot of runway for time to kind of know and settle things up and figure out what's going on, which can definitely take a lot of stress out of things. It can make things a lot less stressful if you do it right. Not going to lie. It definitely can be. It can be stressful to go out and market and sell your other, you know, your own clients. It gets hard. It's freaking hard. And it can be a very great way to explode your income very quickly with a lot less work done by you, right? So maybe you don't have as much time to go out there and create the marketing systems, but you want to grow and you need to grow to hire the right management people in order to have the time to work on the marketing systems. I understand that could be a niche, you know, situation where that's important or you need to do that. Reasons not to do it. You don't have a lot of cash. Okay. If you don't have a lot of cash, it's not a wise decision. I am fully 100% against acquiring a business and going to the bank and getting a loan for it. 100% against it. Okay. I know we talked about debt versus no debt. It is the dumbest thing you can do because they're going to have you try to have you overpay for it. And you're just going to be stuck with their piece of junk, with their crap for a while. Like, they're unloading their crap on you and you're probably going to overpay for it. Then you're going to pay interest on it. Then you have to keep these clients and keep doing this stupid stuff because you have payments on this loan, right? It's just, if you don't have the cash, don't do it. Okay, just period, end of story. And not even if you have enough, if you have enough to buy multiple of these in one season, which we'll talk about more in a second with my business, we'll talk about that at the end. If you can't easily buy this multiple times over, it is not a wise decision. If you can barely afford it, it's all the cash you have, I'd say don't do it. There's much safer ways to grow by marketing yourself. Oh, it's hard. Okay, both options are going to be hard. One could be hard as in you go bankrupt, which we talk about again in the debt episode where I say, like, you running out of money is you going bankrupt. The goal is don't run out of money when you're getting ready to grow and gear up. Don't run out of money. And so if this is going to cause you to run out of money or possibly run out of money, don't do it. If it handicaps you, right, it's too easy. It's an easy out. You don't have to think about it. You're chilling. You don't have to learn how to market very well. All that stuff, it's an out. Don't do it. It can be super stressful if done wrong, especially if it's not a good business, which we'll talk about how to figure out if it's a good business or not in a second. And if you can't handle the work and pivot well, you could lose it all, right? So if you paid all this money, but you don't really know how to hire, you don't really know how logistics and operations work, you're not running a very efficient business yourself, I'm going to tell you right now that you're not going to be able to handle the work and you're going to lose it all. I'm going to talk about that again at the end of this when we're going to talk about the business that I picked up, which they had picked up another business who had really high-end clients, a couple of really high-end clients, and they ruined their relationship with those clients. Those would have been the best clients, and they ruined those relationships. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Now, let's talk about business. What are some good things and some bad things to look for? Okay, reasons to do it, right? Reasons that it's some good things. Clients are priced on the high side, so there's no, you know, price increases are needed for a while, and it'll bump your overall profit margin. That's awesome, great. If their prices are way higher and people are paying it, great. If clients are used to overpaying and a crappy experience, but still stick around. If the guy takes days to get back to people and they're still overpaying and they're still, you know, there's good billing and that kind of stuff. You know, they got credit card on file, but the guy never gets back to them and they're paying too much. Dude, you're killing it. All you need to do is do good work and your margin is going to increase, right? Easy. The routes are super dense and they intertwine with your current route. So if they've got, like, you've got a house every other street, they've got a house every other street, and you can just combine that. It's going to cut drive time. It's going to bump your profit margin. Maybe their pricing isn't as good as yours is, but they're right next door to your property. Well, it doesn't matter then. Like, you're still going to make your margin with that. So those are some reasons to do it. Reasons not to do it. They're underpriced lawns. Okay. They're used to having special favors done at no extra cost. Hey, can you put up this rug over the window so that, you know, rock doesn't hit it and break the glass? Sure, we can do that. You know, no extra cost. No, I'm not putting a freaking rug over your window every single time we come there for nothing extra. Like, my guys have plenty of work to do already. We're not going to hit a thing through your window. And if we do, we'll pay for it. But I'm not counting on it. My guys aren't stupid. Poor route density, right? Doesn't intertwine with your route. End of month payments, bro. There is no absolute freaking reason why you should be mailing somebody an invoice at the end of the month for them to pay. It's literally going to take 2 months to get paid. Two months. Okay. I will run circles around anyone who does that. Circles. Because I can grow so much faster than you can. Why? Because you're too busy waiting for your money to come to pay your mortgage. Well, my money's already come. My profit's already come. My bills are paid already, and my extra cash is already in the bank. Maybe it's not quite as much as yours because I have my credit card processing fees. Maybe I don't have quite as many clients because, you know, not everybody wants to put card on file. But now I've got money to grow and market immediately. I'm 2 months faster than you are. Literally, if you do net 30s for your residential clients and I'm doing credit card on file, I'm 2 months ahead of you, 2 months ahead of you every single step of the way. So just keep that in mind. End of month payments, stupidest thing. I hate it when people do that kind of stuff. So if they have that, if they have card on file, dude, you're chilling. You're rocking and rolling. You're off to a good start. Or if almost everybody pays up front for the season, also rocking and rolling. But real quick, how do we find out these things? Easy. Okay, how do we find out this information from them? Okay, let's talk about clients are priced high. Ask what the company charges per man hour to find out if they're high or low. If they know and it's $70 or more per man hour, awesome. If they don't know or they say it's competitive, I want you to run the other way. Okay, competitive. What does competitive mean? It means it's competitive for the industry. I don't want a competitive price. I want a price that's so stupidly astronomical that it's not even competitive, but they still pay it. That's what I want. Okay. If they don't know, then I guarantee it's not even competitive. That's the only way they're getting clients is because they charge nothing, which means they make no money, which means you will make no money, which means you will make no return on your investment. Okay. Plain and simple. Client's experience, including favors. How do we figure that out? Ask if there are any owners who like plants moved or yard furniture moved every time or things of that nature. By the way, when we ask these questions, they will not know. And we need to ask them in a way that they don't understand why we're asking these questions. Because if they knew, they might lie to us or they might downplay it. But if you say, hey, do you have any clients that, you know, they generally look for like plants to be moved, furniture, that sort of thing. And if they start picking up that you're asking it in a, if they say yes, that's a red flag. Say it in a way of like, we're totally used to doing that stuff, you know, or like, just want to see like, hey, you know, what kind of experience are your clients looking for? Just want to make sure we can take care of your clients well, that sort of thing. You can kind of be a little bit suave with your words, a little bit smooth with your words, in a way that it doesn't sound immediately negative, because some people will straight up just lie to you and be like, yeah, no, none of our clients are like that. You call them and they're like, yeah, we want these four plants moved and we want our grill moved and just stupid stuff. That's just going to eat time. Run the other way. routes. Ask what neighborhoods clients are in and how many are in each neighborhood and how long a crew is in a neighborhood, right? We're talking about route density. How do we find that out? They're generally not going to be able to lie about this because they're not going to be able to come up with a lie quick enough. It's not a yes or no question. You're asking for details, right? If the crews are hopping to five neighborhoods in a day, they have no density, run the other way, okay? So take a second and analyze. Those are the things I was saying. So pricing, right? Do they know how much they're actually charging? Are they competitive? Run the other way. Client's experience, asking favors, make it sound like you guys are totally used to it and just kind of see if they're like, yeah, we got these couple of clients that are like red flag. Or if routes, if they're like, so we do a half day here in this area, a half day here in this area, and then a half day, you're like, dude, what in the world? Or it's like, so we have a couple in this neighborhood, a couple in this neighborhood. So we hit about three neighborhoods in a day. Dude, what? What? Like how many houses are there? If there's like 120 houses in that neighborhood, I should be able to make at least a half, a three-quarter day out of it, right? You got no density, which means you've run a crappy business. You don't know how to market. You don't know how to run a business. So that's kind of a scary, scary thing to be doing that. So take a second, analyze, should I be acquiring a business? And then ask those questions and figure out if you should acquire that particular business. So obviously the first step is making sure that this makes sense for you. If it does, then we find folks selling their business. Then we figure out if the business is worth buying. And let's walk through the next step. Step two, finding sellers, okay? Meeting them. Where do they hang out? Introduce yourself at meetups at local dealerships. Post and connect in Facebook groups, local repair shops, etc. I would even say ask the owners of the dealerships, repair shops, mulch and stone places, nurseries, if they know of anyone who's trying to get out of the business, and offer to pay a referral fee if they find they find someone. If they have a business bulletin board, go ahead and put an ad up there. Just saying that you're buying clients. Bold move. I would also say call the competitors' companies directly. You don't have to ask like straight up if they're getting out of the business. Just get on the phone. Try to get on the phone with the owner and just ask and say, hey, you know, we're looking to potentially have like a business relationship with you guys. You know, be an emergency subcontractor for you guys. Equipment breaks, something goes down, whatever, we're there for you. And then vice versa, have you guys available for us. Just anything but telling them that you're feeling out whether or not they're getting out of the business is a great way to go about doing this. Just kind of get a pulse on things. They'll generally tell you, hey, they're like, sure, just know that, you know, I'm looking to get out of the business in the next couple of years. And then you can ask them to elaborate on that if you'd like to. Be sneaky about it. Don't be straight up just like, I called you to see if you'd sell your business to me. Because that make them think that they came up with the idea. Be like, oh, really? Got it. Oh, okay. Yeah. You ask them the questions And they're like, oh, are you like selling it or what are you doing? Yeah, I was thinking about selling it. Oh, okay. Gotcha. How's that process going? Well, I really haven't found any good sellers. Oh, gotcha. Where have you been looking for? You know, and then at the end, just work them to the point where they're like, well, you have a business. And they're like, do you want to buy it? Right? Have them come up with the idea. It's always the best way to go. Okay. The best seller is an old guy who's got really high prices. Clients are super loyal. Route is super dense. He's been doing it for 50 years. He's got plenty of money. His body just hurts. He's done. He's like, I've been doing this for 40 years. I'm done with this. He just wants to get out and doesn't realize that he could sell it and probably actually make real money for it. Most sellers are going to have 40 to 150. It's going to be clients. It's going to be an owner-operator operation versus a multi-million-dollar business because you probably can't afford a multi-million-dollar business. But that's kind of the ideal scenario. That's the golden option. Not all companies are going to be like that. In fact, most are not going to be like that. But you'll find enough of them that are like that, that it's worth it. So step three is how much to pay, okay? If you're buying the equipment as well, go on Facebook to see how much each piece of equipment they have sells for in your local market. Mark it down by 10 to 20%. For clients, rule of thumb is to pay an extra 20% more than your client acquisition cost per client. If you don't know that number, you should know how much it costs you to get a client. If you have no idea where your clients really even come from, we got some episodes of marketing. Go check those out. If they have a lot of just like massive residential or commercial sites, in that case, just go for 5 to 10% of revenue. So if they're, you know, doing like 500K, you should probably be paying 50K, somewhere between 25 and 50K for those clients. Most people are going to want closer to 50K from the get-go, but you can kind of talk them down from there. And add those numbers up and you know, there you go. Add the 10 to 20% markdown of their equipment based on Facebook Marketplace, and then, you know, pay 20% of client acquisition cost or 5 to 10% of revenue. Add those up. There you go. If you can get more than a 20% markdown on their equipment, so you get like 25, 30%, or pay less than 5 to 10% of revenue, you're just going to make more and more and more money. You're going to be more and more in the green. You're going to be more and more in the profit. So if you can do that, do it. Okay. Negotiate like a shark. Just don't stop. But here's how to negotiate. I'll give you some insight on that. Okay. You can't have them, be the one selling you on, hey, this is my business, da, 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 and I'm asking $1 million, right? They're stupid. Okay. Everyone's going to be unrealistic. That's selling their, but not everyone, but most people are going to be like, oh, my business is worth 40 grand. It's worth nothing. Your equipment is worth 20 grand and your clients are worth 2 grand because you're doing end of month payments. You're undercharging them. Your quality is not very good. Your reputation isn't very good. Your route isn't very dense. You know, just like they're being unrealistic. They think they're going to get all this money for this thing because they've worked hard and they're proud of it. Nothing wrong with working hard and being proud of something. Being proud of something and that being the reason why you work towards this because you think you're going to have pride. There's definitely some issues with pride and ego, but there's nothing inherently wrong with building a business and saying, hey, I feel kind of good about the fact that I worked really hard for a really long time and I have something to show for that, even if it's not a lot. And they think it's a lot and it's a big deal. So you can't just belittle people. So when you approach them, you need to approach them and say, I'm a responsible person who's going to take care of your clients. Your reputation is going to be good. We're going to do a better job than you ever did. You know, we're going to honor your prices. We're going to do all these things. They just want people not to call them and be like, your person is terrible. They want to leave with their conscience clear and as much money as they possibly can. I would say ask them what else is important besides money and sell them on that. A lot of guys, it's their pride. This is their baby. They want to know it's in good hands. So treat them well, treat them with respect. Even if you're like, dang, this is really not that great of a business, but you want it, treat them well. And just sell people on the things besides money because you are going to lowball them because people are going to ask for an unrealistic amount of money because they don't know business and they don't know how much their company is worth or rather not worth. So once you kind of have that price, like I said, I gave you a template to kind of figure out what you're going to pay. Let them be the unrealistic ones and realize that no one is paying what they want. Okay. They're going to be like, no, my business is worth 100 grand. You're like, you did 100 grand in revenue last year. What are you talking about? It's just literally your business is you and one other guy. It's not worth anything. But they need to be the ones who need to be unrealistic because they're in their head. They're thinking, man, I'm going to get this 100K. I'm going to work at, you know, National Grid and make my 50 grand a year. And I'm going to take this 100 grand and I'm going to buy that Corvette and go on vacation and all this stuff. And then when you come in, you're like, I'll give you 10 grand for it. And they're like, whoa, you just destroyed my dream of reality. And so it's tough for people, for sure. It's upsetting for them, which isn't your fault. So I would say this, though, once you make the offer, though, don't back down. They're going to try to renegotiate with you. The firmer you are of not being willing to go very far with them, inch up, but don't move a lot at a time, because then they'll think, oh, I have the upper hand here. Make it clear to them that you don't need them, okay? In every negotiation, he who needs the other person less always wins, period, okay? Don't destroy your reputation. Don't be sleazy. But, dude, make a hard offer and be like, this is what I can offer you. And if they're like, oh, well, I don't know, be like, I'm sorry, this is all I got. This is all I got. It's not worth it for me to do anything more than that. And once they realize that that's what the market is actually willing to pay for it, they'll move forward from there. So step number five is onboarding the clients. You close them. Now what? Call everyone immediately. Call them one by one. Try to keep pricing billing the same as if possible. If it's end of month payments, I don't even freaking care. You're going to get a credit card on file, pay up front for the season, something. You want to get at least more than, you know, 60, 70% of their clients onto your billing system of credit card on file or paying up front for the season. You don't want to be leaving all their people on end of month payment. It's just foolish, okay? It's foolish. It's irresponsible for you financially. You're going to toast yourself. You're going to cut your growth up for somebody else's business. It's not worth it. You can grow your own business. And we have episodes on how to actually grow your own business instead of just buying someone else's. And try to keep at least one or two employees from the previous company so they can teach your guys on the properties, because they're going to know them inside and out, know all the little nuances. You don't want to be having to learn them all for the first time. You want someone who's experienced. So in summary, are you ready? Here's the five things. First, are you ready to acquire your first business? Are you ready? Is this something that makes sense for you? Number two, find a business. Number three, are they a good business worth buying? If so, negotiate is number four. And number five is move quickly. Okay. I'm going to tell you a recent story of my acquisition that I just made and why it was a very foolish decision on my part. I heard about it from one of my employees. I'm not going to give any specific names, nothing like that. It's not necessarily like that's not how I want to roll. And I looked at the business, whatever, and I got numbers. I was like, I don't love the business, but I made him an offer anyway. And he accepted my offer. And I was like, oh, shoot. I really didn't want him to take my offer in the first place, but I've entertained him all the way up until this point. What do I say? You know what? I changed my mind. I would have to lower it to this. I felt kind of sleazy. Now, at this point, I just wouldn't have gone so far, or I would have offered him something lower and been like, hey, look, I don't mean to insult you. This is all I can do. Like, it just doesn't make sense for me to spend this much money on something like this. And it's hard. And especially when you don't have all the information on the business, and I should have asked more pertinent questions, and I should have seen the red flags, but I didn't know. That's why I'm making this episode. It's because I'm literally walking through the process right now, and I know exactly what I'm looking for going forward, what I would not do going forward, and have a little bit of perspective for you guys, because it's probably a multi-$1,000 mistake, wherein, and I'll run through this real quick, the issues, literally the red flags that I'm going through with you guys, right? What business is worth it or not worth it? Right, reasons to do, well, let's say reasons not to do is they're underpriced. Their loans are underpriced. Not majorly, but underpriced. The clients are used to special favors. A couple of the clients are used to special favors. The route density is not very good. It doesn't really intertwine with my route. It helps get me into new areas, and we're growing out a lot this year. And so our route density isn't going to be as great as I'd like it to be, and I know that, and so I want to build in little pockets here and there, and so it's going to be helpful for that, but not insanely helpful. And end of month payments, they do end of month payments by mail, which I'm not doing that. So it's going to be an interesting year. Their largest client that made up 20% of their revenue decided to drop us and not work with us this season. So I'm very upset about that for sure. A lot of fast ones were kind of pulled at the last minute. I definitely feel like I got bent over a little bit on this one. He feels the same. He feels like he got bent over on this one. I paid more than I should have for it. Just honest to goodness. I'm not going to give specific details, but I bought the equipment because I knew that he would want someone to take everything off his hands and not just buy the clients. And the clients really weren't, they're not worth very much, to be honest with you, especially with their billing and all that. It's just not worth it. And so for me, I had to make an offer that wasn't too insulting to him, something that was reasonable. I'll for sure take care of the clients, and we do good work, and it'll be a great customer service experience for them. And, you know, he has a full-time job, so I'm sure it took him forever to get back to his clients. There's someone in the office at our business who will pick up the phone for them and answer the phone and help them out. So it's very much like the customer service will be better. The quality of the service is going to be better for sure, because our guys are just paid more and we have higher quality equipment. So everything else is going to be better. But it's like he got the W on this one. He got someone who bought all of his equipment, gave him a fair price for everything, and overpaid for his clients, since that major client, his only one profitable client left. So for me, I'm stuck with the crap. I'm stuck with it for sure. But it was a learning lesson, and we're going to sell the equipment and we'll be a couple grand down. You know, we'll have work to do, and it's a bit of a waste of my time for sure. And time is my most precious asset at this point, but it was a learning lesson. We're still going to grow. It's still going to make us money eventually. But it's a longer term play than I would have liked to it have been, when I have shorter term plays that I can make, right? People, long term plays. I'm all for long term plays. But if there's a shorter term play that is less risky, easier, more in line with what I want to do with my company, I'm going to take that option. Long term is not better because it's long term. Long term is better because generally most people are not willing to do that. But in this case scenario, I kind of had the upper hand in negotiation, but I didn't play that as much as I should have. So with that being said, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Let me see how long I went. It wasn't super long. But I hope this gave you guys insight into, hey, is buying a company worth it? What does that look like? Cause I've heard so many like fancy stories of people of these things. Get everything in writing, be explicitly clear, protect your booty. Okay. I know we want to take care of other people and be honest and, you know, handshake and back of the napkin type stuff and, you know, look me in the eye and shake my hand and we know where. No, dude, I get it. We can romanticize about how we want business to operate, but when your personal finances are at risk, you do not want to be the one holding that hot potato at the end. You don't. It's just not worth it. So get that stuff in writing. Protect yourself. And if you ever are thinking of acquiring a company, listen to this episode again, because I think it's going to give you guys some insights into how to go about that process. So I appreciate you guys tuning in. If you want to leave us a review down below, I got my first, I think, 3-star review from somebody last week. Obviously, the last episode was not appreciated. So let's drown it out with the 5 stars. If you guys wouldn't mind, if you're tuning in, if you've not left a 5-star, if you've not left a review with some feedback for me, go ahead and do so. It's super easy. If you're on Apple Podcasts, you literally just scroll down, tap on it, boom. That's it. You can literally tap the 5-star, or you can write something if you'd like. So I appreciate it, guys, and I'll catch you next week. Peace.